approach this attitude against women by saying that they were only in the industry temporarily, you know, that they were only, you know, they were in some ways looking forward to marriage and then leaving a job and stuff like that. How did you and the other women, you know, combat ideas like that and attitudes like that?
Well, I'm only going according to my opinion. I think it gave the women a certain amount of independence, and we liked it. I know if I would have been fortunate to have children, if my children got to a certain age, I think I would have loved to go back to work. You know what I mean? And it sort of gives you a feeling like you want to be pals with them, and like I was with my nieces. I used to take my nieces around all over when I used to be home. Like on Saturdays and Sundays, I used to take them to different places. I got a thrill out of doing that. I mean, the world is different on the outside. It's not like it is when you're home and you don't mix with people. So I think that work was a marvelous thing for women to participate in, besides giving help at home.
But in terms of benefits, you know, sometimes it would be an issue where, you know, something was wanted specifically for women and the decision was no because you're only a temporary workforce. But the men are here consistently, but someday you're going to get married and have children and be
home.
Did you run into attitudes like that, and how did you confront those?
Well, we never had that in our organization. I mean, I can't say that I ever came into an experience like that myself. However, I do know that there were places years back that used to do that. They used to hold it against the women. They wouldn't give them certain positions because they figured that it was something that took a long time for them to break them in. They figured that if they were at a certain age, they wouldn't want to go through all that trouble to teach them, and then they were going to lose them, you know. But because in those days, a lot of them, after they got married, they stay home to raise their family. Today, it's a different setup. Mm-hmm. They even if they raise a family, a lot of them take their children into daycare centers, and they want to go out and work again.
What advantages and disadvantages do you think there were to having a local of some women?
Well, I think for one thing, we had a lot in common because we understood each other very well, which is something that you can't. There's certain things that men, no matter how broad-minded they are and how much they want to be together and agree with your ideas and think your ideas are good, there's a lot of things that, a man doesn't understand that women understand. There are, I won't say a lot of things, there are certain things that they wouldn't understand. A lot of men are not interested in home life, you know what I mean? A lot of them get married and they just let the woman run the home, and they don't pay attention to all the different little details that make it a happy home life. Whereas the women are more sensitive to things like that than a man is. So I think in that respect, the women have more in common. And they understand that if they have to go to a meeting, that they're sacrificing a lot of things that they could do at home in order to be able to be together. You know what I mean? Where a man doesn't understand those things.
Do you think that it was that 675 allowed a lot of women to integrate their work with their home because you could talk about those kinds of things?
Oh, sure. We used to run our meetings and things accordingly because this way, we used to have meetings, almost all the meetings that we used to have in the years back were always between 7 and 8 o'clock in the evening. Well, we got together in our local and we decided. What was the sense in having a meeting at 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening? Why not have our meeting right after work? This way, we could go home and have supper with the family because our meetings would last an hour and a half. We'd come right after work and we'd have our meeting. And then, the meeting maybe would last an hour. Then we'd have a discussion on different things for maybe 15, 20 minutes, then we'd break up and we'd go home. And everybody would go home and have supper with their family, and they had the rest of the evening to enjoy with their family or to do little things that they had to do. you know. So in that respect, I mean, that's one thing that where the men would be against that. They'd want to have their meeting in the evening. They all wanted to go out to eat, like we used to go out for supper, and then we'd have to kill time for an hour or so before our meeting would start, you know. And that way, we understood each other, and we did it our way because it was more convenient for us. When you talk about women being together, you know. This is one of the little things that I say. A man wouldn't pay much attention to that. To him, he's out for the evening, and that's it. To a woman, if she's got responsibility at home, this would help out an awful lot.
Mm-hmm. I see, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand that there were women's locals in Rochester and Baltimore, too. I guess it was in Albany. Did you ever have any communication with them at all?
No. I just, I knew a couple of the women from there, but not too well. Not too well, so I can't speak about them because I really don't know.
You don't know how organized they were?
I couldn't tell you that. I just used to meet these women when I used to go to conventions, you know. That's about the end of it because we saw each other maybe once every 2 years. That's about all.
Did you see a growth and a change in attitude in terms of the whole union too, like when you used to go to the conventions and things, in terms of the attitude towards women?
Oh, I could see that the women were getting, they were getting in into better positions and were put on different committees more and more. I mean, it was getting more, the women were getting more and more popular as we went along. Oh yes, I could see that.
Do you think that there's a need for women
vocal skills? Well, I think that at this point, the organization is thinking in terms of the women participating in almost everything now. So I don't think that it's a necessity anymore like it was years back.
With
the kind of management that we have now, I have to say that. I don't know what the future will bring. But I mean, it's one thing I have to say about Mr. Finley. He was always very broad-minded about that, and he always gave us women a break all the time. I don't ever remember the time that we approached him on anything that he wouldn't help us up. And as far as I could see, he always, every time that we had any kind of an activity or any committees were made up, we always put some women in all the time. So and as far as the organization itself is concerned, I think that they're recognizing the women there. They're giving them a break.
So in a way, 275 is more or less a vehicle or a tool to get to this point?
Well, it helped.
Do you think
it's
outgrown its usefulness at this point?
Well, I wouldn't say it outgrew its usefulness. I don't know. Like I said, I can't speak for what the future will bring. You know, there's very few people that can dedicate themselves like Clara Leanne did. I don't know if you'd have found another person to take over like she did. She's a local ended when she
died. Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that, whether there would have been a chance for it to survive.
Yeah. And, well, as far as the local surviving, I don't think there would have been a chance because of the fact that, like I told you, the small locals were merging with the bigger locals. So, 275 couldn't have been an exception to the rule because they had already taken away the local 6, they had already taken away local 38, and they were bigger locals than we were, really. So we stood our ground pretty well. Clara wouldn't have passed on. I mean, they would have never eliminated the local while she was living. They wouldn't have done that to her. I'm sure they would. But like I said, now the women are given recognition, and with the kind of the leadership that we've got now, I think that the women will always be participating. Always.
How would you describe yourself when you first came into the industry compared to now?
Oh. How would I say it? I was like a little foreigner. I mean, I'm born and raised in this country, but I was like a little foreigner because even though my family was all union conscious, because my family had practically all worked in the industry. And even my father worked for the telephone company, you know, before he got his heart condition. But then the kind of work he was doing on the outside, he couldn't do it because he had a bad heart. So he came in and worked in a shop for a while. So I asked to see if that would agree with him. But from then on, he was sick and never went back to work anymore. My mother worked. My brother, my whole family worked in the industry for a while. My brother got out of it later because he opened up his own business. But all my sisters, we only have one brother, so all my sisters worked in the industry. So I was more or less union conscious because of the fact that my mother and my sister, my mother used to allow my sister to go to the meetings and everything, and in those days, the girls didn't go out by themselves, you know what I mean? Like I said, I felt a little bit like a foreigner because I didn't know too much, but then again, I wasn't too ignorant of the fact either as far as union was concerned, because I used to go with my sister to the meeting. She was 3 years older than I was. So my mother used to send me with her to keep her company so that she wouldn't be coming home alone, you know. A lot I could do, something would happen, you know. But it made my mother feel better anyway that she wasn't alone. So, I've learned a lot, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. You know, how should I put this? This is just like dope. It's just like smoking or anything else. It gets in your blood. You know, I wouldn't say smoke, and I shouldn't compare it to that because it's more important than that. But I mean, it's something that gets in your being. And no matter how you do it, like now, I'm retired. I don't have to come down here all the time if I don't want to, because my time is my own. But if I'm not down here 2-3 times a week, I don't feel right. I feel like something is missing. It's part of me already, you see. And my mother always used to kid about it. Marie's mother and my mother, you know, they knew each other. And they always used to say that, if I translate it, it doesn't make much sense, but in Italian it sounds funny. That death would come to the door for either one of us, that it would never find us homely. They'd have to come on Ash and Dad. But you see, when I interpret it, it doesn't make sense, you know. But in Italian it sounds funny. Not that nobody wishes death or anything like that. This is just a sort of a thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we were down here all the time. We had some good times.
So you've made quite a transition from when you first started feeling like you were foreign to feel.
Oh, sure. I mean, everything was so strange to you that you feel, you know, this is a different world entirely from when you're going to school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, it opened up a different outlook on life for me. I mean, it seems to me like it gave me more feeling for humanity, I mean, to help people. And like I said, if I had the opportunity to go to school, I think I would have been a social worker, because I love that. I'd love to help people, to talk to them, and anything I could do to help them out, you know.
So in a way you feel that you fulfilled that?
Yes. I did it in a way where I wasn't able to do it with education, so I did it in my own humble way. And it's very gratifying. I feel real good about it, because not that I want to brag about myself, but in all the years that I was a chair lady and active, every time that I got through, like in one department and one to another, it made me feel real good that I'd meet people that I had worked with that were under me. For a certain length of time that worked with me and that I helped out, and they always had such nice things to say, that they appreciated so much what I did for them, you know what I mean? That it was appreciated. I don't know how to bring it out, but it made me feel good to know that my work wasn't in vain. They appreciated every little thing that I did for them. In fact, We had our party here about 3 weeks ago up here, a retirement party. There's some two people that I worked with for many, many years, so I came to the party. And I met girls there that worked under me, that I was their chairman for many, many years. They're young, they're women that are in their 40s and 50s that aren't retired yet. And it made me feel real good because they all come up and kiss me and tell me how much they miss me. And then I hear them telling other people that are new, that were at the banquet, that all the nice things I used to do for them and how much they appreciated that I used to go out of my way for them and all that. It gives you a nice feeling to know that you've done these things with all your heart and that they appreciated it, you know? Not that I wanted any honors, don't get me wrong, because I didn't do it for that purpose. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it gives you a certain amount of satisfaction to know that all your work isn't done in vain, that all the time you put in there, because it's all your own time that you're putting in. You're not getting anything in return for it, except your satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of goals do you have for yourself now? What kinds of things do you want?
Well, I just like to keep going. I like to keep up with everything that's going on around me. I want to be on the up and up on everything as far as women are concerned, as far as helping people that are in the same category as I am, like the retirees, anything that we can do to better ourselves. And I think I want to keep going as long as I need, as my health permits me, to get around. I want to be in on everything that's going on as long as I'm able to. I want to keep up with everything that's going on in the world. I want to grow with the world, in other words. I want to keep going ahead. I don't want to sit in no corner if I can help it. And I ain't.